What would you say you do here?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
Hey, remember that time we went to a wedding?
A wedding. You mean this past weekend?
This past weekend, yes.
I may have had the most fun at that wedding that I've had at... You've been part of more weddings than I have. I went to a lot in Atlanta.
That was wedding... I went back over my notes. That was wedding number 12 that I've officiated. I thought it was closer to 15, but it's 12.
And how many weddings would you just guess that you just went to without officiating?
Without officiating in the past 10 years, probably 25.
Total weddings.
Yeah. A lot of weddings.
Yeah, I haven't been to that many.
Separate from officiating, probably 18, now that I think about it. Something like that. Yeah, well, let me take off that. Yeah, 15. We'll call it 15 just to be accurate.
If I just had to quickly guess without ripping through them, I'll bet you I've been to only 20 weddings total.
Oh, wow. You're so fortunate. Probably. I should have five of those weddings I've been to. Well, in my entire life, I've probably been to 30 weddings.
Maybe more than that.
Put it this way. In 2015, I was in four weddings. I went to six total.
Since I've lived here for 14, 13, whatever, somewhere around there years, I think I've only been to two weddings here in Kingman.
That was just last weekend.
That was
and
Sarah Ferry. Was there another one that I'm
Tim
missing?
Tim and Katie.
Three weddings. Okay. Yeah. Yes. So there's, that has to be it, I think.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And that's, so that's, but up to that point, it was fairly consistent, regular going to weddings.
Yeah.
So then it just dropped off, you know, to nothing.
Everybody's married almost. Now.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, it was, for me, it was, and I was telling Jeremiah this yesterday, and he was just kind of impressed.
Hold on, how about that slide? Does that turn you on?
Oh, my God.
Just turn around. How about that one?
Oh, yeah. The Kingman, Arizona City Council meeting is...
We have it up on YouTube. It's on live.
This is not we thing. This is a Paul thing, because I would have turned the TV off.
Yeah, and
because it is distracting.
This is the very end of the meeting, and they're giving an update on something.
You'd think that they would get the boring shit out of the way, but like the flow chart that was up there before was like...
It wasn't even attractive. It was like, so full and so complicated.
It was so dumb. There's multiple
big sentences.
Arrows. It looked like a crazy person put it together.
Right, and then this thing has a big list of shit, and it's like, oh, God. Anyway.
This wedding last weekend was the most stressed I've been before some sort of a quote-unquote performance. Because those of you who don't know, folks, I officiated the wedding.
Now, so I've officiated a lot of weddings.
I've officiated a handful, I mean, a fair amount, like 12. Right, this was number 12.
So why do you think this one was more?
I was on the verge of throwing up right before the ceremony.
Okay.
Like the last like 20 minutes before the ceremony, because I care so much about Mike and Julia so much.
Okay.
We're very close friends.
So all the people you just really, fuck them.
And well, it's not so much fuck them.
I know.
But if I fuck up, these aren't people that I'm friends with all the time. And also the amount of people in the audience that I knew very well.
Right.
Like if you really got down to brass tacks, there was one person in the audience that I've known for over 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm still friends with, which is incredibly rare in my life.
Right.
And just the sheer, so that, and then combined with all the people that were there that I knew really well, not to mention, not even counting the bride and the groom.
Right.
And it was just really important. It was also probably the most time I'd ever spent on a ceremony, like writing it from beginning to end.
Okay.
And I just wanted everything to go perfect for them, but I also knew the struggles that they'd had. Like happens with every wedding, things go awry and things are a pain, but they dealt with a lot of BS leading up to it, up to like the day before. Mm-hmm. Like there was issues with various things that I won't go into.
Mm-hmm.
But having said all that, then I'm the linchpin. I'm the one who has to have the commanding presence right off the bat to make sure. And there were people, I got dirty looks. I don't know. You were sitting there when I said, folks, before we get started, I'd really like to let everyone know that we've hired this great photographer. Mm-hmm. Her name's Claire. We'd appreciate it if you not only turn your phones off or put them in airplane mode, but also put them away. She's the only one taking pictures of the ceremony today.
Right.
Which is the
actual ceremony.
The actual ceremony.
Which made sense to me. And I thought, yeah,
it makes perfect
taken
sense,
a picture
but
too,
I
didn't. I wasn't offended. I get it.
I got eye rolls, and I got glared at from multiple people. Which is fine.
I'm guessing Julia asked that, or the photographer did, or somebody.
100%. Julia asked me to do that. Mike asked me to do that. And then Jeremiah, who was DJing, was like, dude, that's just, it's normal and standard practice. I'm like, I've never made that announcement before at any wedding. And Jeremiah's DJed and performed ceremonies at so many weddings. He's probably DJing probably well over 200 weddings.
It also makes for better photographs from the photographer.
That's the main.
They're going to be, some people will be in the audience, and everybody's going to have their fucking phone up taking pictures of everything, and it's going to be looking shitty.
Yeah.
You know,
So bottom line is, if you pull your phone out at a wedding and they have a wedding photographer, you pull your phone out and take pictures, you're an asshole.
Right.
I don't care where you're from, who you are, who's your grandkid.
I think it's not a bad thing, though, to just every time say just letting you know, you know, there's no photography
and I'll be doing
during
that.
The actual ceremony.
Right. If there's a wedding photographer, I will always, going forward, make that announcement.
From here on out, yeah.
And Jeremiah was right to tell me, he's like, this is the morning of the wedding. Like, we were going through like our own kind of rehearsal of how things are going to flow, what music is getting played, and when and all that. Just so, because he and I can kind of play off each other with visual cues. Because there was some, I don't know if you noticed, with the way the trees were lined up, I couldn't quite see who was ready to come down, and like the timing, just making sure we're not doing anything too quickly and having to coordinate that. So
there's a lot of things he told, unlike some weddings that you have done, that you know the people really well for a long time. At least it wasn't a massive wedding, that which is good.
No,
it wasn't too big, so that was good.
Yeah, it wasn't too, and I don't have a problem speaking in public. The most I've ever spoke to in like a, what I would say, a personal setting where, like this, you know, we could reach thousands of people with this podcast. That doesn't fucking count because they're not sitting here right now.
Correct.
The largest audience.
The only time it counts, and you and I both know, when we're out in public and someone comes up to us that maybe we don't know that well, or especially I don't, you know, more people, like, hey, listen to you guys' podcast. And I swear to God, it's always like, oh, no. Because I think
there's always that pang of like panic and fear. You're like, oh God,
because
what
we
did
know
I say now?
Said a lot of stuff over the last number of years and somewhere in there. But usually it's people like, remember that podcast where you said this? Usually A, no, and B, usually it's really you or I. It's super lewd.
Oh yeah, I'm
or
sure.
Sexual, and people are like, that was hilarious. Okay,
cool. Thanks for listening. This person's fucked up. They
anyway,
like that,
right?
So anyway, no, what Jeremiah told me, he goes, you, in the very beginning, you're commanding the room.
Yes.
100%. You are the person commanding the room. People will listen to you.
True.
You're the, quote unquote, the preacher, the priest, the whatever. You're the officiant. You command that presence. You are the number one person that they are looking at until the bride walks down the aisle.
Yep.
And then from there, it goes back to you after the bride is standing up there. Like, that's just the way it works. I'm like, fuck, okay. Thanks for adding more pressure. And I ended up telling him, I said, man, we did like a little debrief yesterday morning over the phone. And he's like, man, you did really well. You did this, da-da-da. It was great. Everything went off great. I said, I can't believe it. Like, yeah, there were lots of hiccups and whatnot all along the way, but like, other than the wind gust that happened right at like the 30-mile-an-hour gust that happened right during the middle of the ceremony,
yes,
everything else pretty much went off without
a
hitch.
A few of those happened before it, but it was hilarious because Chris was, you know, Chris Lay was would jump out there and pick it up. And he went back there and held it up for a while, and then they found some bungee.
Oh yeah, the thing falling down and all that. Yeah,
some other stuff. Yeah,
It was a good time, and then I told Jeremiah, so I was on the verge of puking 20 minutes before the ceremony. He's like, really? You didn't come off that way at all. You seem super casual. I'm like, that's called repression, and I've gotten to be good at it. Mm-hmm. And
you have to be able to hold your shit together at some point.
Oh shit, yeah, absolutely. And I like to think that I did. But
no, you did well. Yeah,
you hit the nail on the head.
Which head? Which nail?
The nail about having a good time, because it was the most fun I've had at a wedding probably ever.
Yeah, I that's kind of not surprising because it was great, but I thought maybe because you've been to a whole bunch of weddings, and I've had some good times at weddings, but and I'm rolling back on all the friends, but I remember where they were and how the reception was, and it was good. I knew everybody.
It's not like you had a shitty time. You just had a time.
Yeah, but that was, for whatever reason, it was...
Paul, you and I both were dancing.
A lot.
A lot. I danced my ass off way more. And that was a good warm up. And a lot of the music, just so you know, a lot of the music that Jeremiah was playing toward the later end of the night, most of those artists we're going to see this weekend in Salt Lake.
Okay, cool.
There was a ton of them. And Julia was like, oh, you're going to see them. And Mike was like, this is so badass. You're going to see this band. And it was like happened over and over and over again.
Right.
But they were all bangers. Like, they're all danceable things.
And Jeremiah knows how to get people out there. And, you know, he knows how to read the room. And he knows people that are there. He knew everybody was there, of course. But he also is he's a very good DJ. I mean, he knows how to do this shit.
And he's DJed so many different types of rooms that it becomes second nature.
Right.
And he really killed it. I think everybody just nailed everything.
Like, there are certain songs that if all the women out there from young all the way up to 40s or 50s aren't out there shaking their ass,
right,
then he's chosen the wrong song. He knows how to get them all out there.
The amount of, oh, my God, Lil Jon, Yin Yang Twins,
so great.
Juvenile. Yeah. Which is one of my favorite things ever is like and I love Pony. I love that song.
Yeah, that, I that pretty much like, everybody out there.
It's and it will get and honestly like goes back to my adopted brother TJ was like at my baby brother's wedding was like, hey, you want to see a bunch of white people lose their mind? And I was because he's the only black dude at like a 300 person reception. And
there was one black dude at this wedding too. I thought this guy's laughing at all the white people. And
oh, it was. And you know what's funny is like I walked up to him, I met him, and I can't for the life of me remember his name because I walked up to Mike. I was like, Mike, who's the gentleman with the cornrows? And he's like, oh, that's God. I want to say his name was Alex, but that was another one of his friends.
So it's a friend of his from Phoenix.
Yeah, it's a friend of his from that he went to school with, and he lives up north now. I think he lives in Washington, maybe.
Oh, he came down.
But okay, it was after the show or after the show after the reception was winding down.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I never got a chance to introduce myself. I just feel like I don't want to be the weird white guy with a shaved head that walked up to him and tell him that his cornrows are clean as fuck. Mm-hmm. Like either he paid a lot of money or had somebody's auntie do him. Mm-hmm. And he goes, nah, man, he's cool as fuck. Like he walked up, he introduced himself and I was like, oh man, I didn't want to be the weirdo to compliment you, but like you're the flyest fucking dresser here. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of pissed me off. Cause I can't ever look that good in a suit. And he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, thanks man. I appreciate it. And I'm like, plus I don't know how many hours you spent in the chair, but those cornrows are so fucking clean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he looks at Mike and he goes, oh, this is the Joe you've told me about. He's like, yeah, he's cool. Like it's and I was like, see, fucking black people love me. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, dude, you're all right. But anyway, it was my one brother was like, you want to see a bunch of white people lose their mind? And I was like, sure, what are you talking about? And so he goes up to the DJ, slips him some money, and then comes back and sits down, like, what'd you do? And he's like, you'll see. And then goes straight into Juvenile's Pony. Mm-hmm. And he was right. Mm-hmm. Babies were made on that dance floor.
Yep.
Like people just like there's certain songs in a certain demographic that people lose their fucking minds.
Kind of reminds me a little bit. It is funny to witness, but it reminds me of this hilarious skit with Dave Chappelle with John Mayer.
John Mayer,
and they're going and they're in the corporate boardroom, but they're around the corner of the cubicle, and they're gonna
sets his little amp down, and he just starts wailing.
We're gonna play. And some kind of blues riff or blues, whatever the fuck it is.
And people are like, oh, shit, yeah, what's that? Yeah. How do we get white
that
people
whole thing
to dance?
And then they go to a barbershop, like a Hispanic or a whatever barbershop, and they play whatever the fuck that music is that's pretty hard to stomach sometimes. Like it's so loud and just not white people music. And then they do the gibberish. He gets the bullhorn out and starts yelling something weird. And remember that one scene?
It's the banda. It's Mexican banda music.
Yeah, there you go.
It sounds like oompa music, but it's from Mexico because it's derived from German shit.
I think that was
shit.
The same type of music. I think it was something else. It's a different kind of music. Anyway,
Okay. Anyway, we will watch it.
Yeah, so we'll have to check it out during the break. I think that's one thing we will check out during the break and not forget about is Dave Chappelle's music with white people. So, that was the first season, I think.
That sounds about right.
I'm pretty sure it was of his thing. Anyway, it was a blast.
Yeah, it was a great time. Many, many people danced and had just a phenomenal time. The food was great.
It was good. Yep, it was very good. I drank a lot of Jameson.
You know, I
drank all of it.
I
think it was out. Like the last one was they would ran out.
Yeah, I went up to get another JMO and Ginger. She's like, we're out of JMO. I think we both did. And they're like, no, we're out. I'm like, okay.
And then I had something else to substitute. I can't remember what it was. We were trying to get – everybody had left, and then we were all going. They had like 20 minutes, and the lodge was still open. So Sarah and TJ and me and I guess Jesus. Can't remember who else. We're heading up there, and then I had to drop off something in the truck, and they came back. They said, they're not going to let us in. They're closing. So then when like now we're – so I said the magic words of where's the after party? And she goes, oh, we got some beer at the cabin and blah, blah. You can come over there and do that. And everybody would started bailing, you know. And then Sarah was asking me to join them. I said, all right, look. I'm not going to be the only one that's going to show up at y'all's cabin and drink beer. I got stuff to do tomorrow anyway, but thank you very much.
I almost regret not sticking around because I left. I left fairly early. I mean, I got home at probably 11:15 or so, I think.
Yeah.
But I was glad that I did. Just to get, I have shit I got to do. I had shit that I needed to take care of.
You were there. And at what time did you get there? That was a long day.
1:30.
So 1:30 to like 11, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, that's 10 hours.
Yeah. And from 1:30 until 5, I was simmering ball of stress, which is basically just not fucking existing. It's just doing nothing but depleting my energy. Once it was all said and done, I was fucking stoked and just having a great fucking time. But anyway, and the shitty thing is that I had all this shit that I had wanted to get accomplished on Sunday, and I got none of it because of the wind and my allergies kicked up.
It was really windy.
And I had I hadn't had one of these, and it's been about a year. I had a full systemic allergy, allergy attack. So it was like sneezing, coughing, hacking. My ears itched. My throat itched. My eyes were like, I had like chunks of glass in them.
Yeah.
Hives all over my chest and back and legs and arms. Yeah, it was fucking not good.
Yeah.
So I was just laid up inside the entire day, and it was fucking terrible. So that sucked, but whatever.
Yeah, I didn't have really a hangover or anything, but I didn't do a lot because it was windy. I just kind of relaxed and watched a couple of good movies and did something. I can't remember what I freaking did.
Hell, I slept for part of the day.
Yeah.
I was up at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, but I was back in bed taking, quote-unquote, a nap at 11:30.
But we were at Mr. Foss's table. That was nice.
That was the fun table.
Yeah.
I think we had the most fun.
Yeah.
For sure. But
I didn't look around at the other less fun tables. But I figured the fairy table is probably pretty fun.
Probably. So. It was a good time. It was again the most fun I've ever had at a wedding.
The big heads that they had. That was
holy shit, folks.
That was so fucking funny.
I think it was Mike's mom did that.
She had that idea to bring those in.
Yeah.
Or if you told anybody, she just brought them in.
I don't think so. I think Mike, if I remember right, I think Mike told me he's like, I had no idea. I had no idea.
That was a hit of the dance floor.
baby pictures blown up to like 400 times the normal size.
The heads only.
And just the head.
So it's like a three size the time of a, you know, it was a start on a foam board, so you could dance around and put these foam heads.
And you look like a giant headed version of Julia or Mike, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then these two ladies were like, come on, come in, get in the photo booth. The photo booth was one of
cool
the coolest things.
I talked to the dude. He's from Vegas. I talked to him for
a while. Really? Yeah. I got stuck behind him going down the hill.
Oh, did you?
Should have left 3 minutes earlier
or
20 minutes later because it was 38 miles an hour all the way down the hill.
All the way down.
I didn't use gas at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, the photo booth that they had was the VW bus.
Old classic videos. Yep,
that
VW
he put
bus.
A photo, like a professional grade photo booth behind like the front seats. So you sit in the back seat in there and had all these props and cool shit.
It looks like you're in the back of a VW bus and you were, it was cool as hell.
And
He's busy as shit in Vegas. I said, no shit. I think you are.
It's one of the coolest like things I've ever seen.
Yeah, and
it's
mobile. You can just drive it around or whatever. I said, what do you do in Vegas? He said, well, I physically drive it in Vegas around, but like he trailered it there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know where the trailer's down. I don't know, but he said he got behind it. Was he on a trailer?
Yeah, it was on a flatbed trailer.
Okay, there you go.
The trailer was parked down close to the entrance to like that lower parking lot.
Okay.
But yeah, that was one of the neatest things ever.
And then they had an old telephone that you could leave messages.
Yes.
That was fun. They had fun things.
Little attention to detail and whatnot. It's just really, really neat.
I left four messages, and the last one I left was, okay, this is the fourth message I left, and you guys haven't called me back yet. And I begin to wonder, why did you even invite me to this wedding?
I've never seen such a concept before where it's literally you just pick it up and you leave
a message for the whatever, or it says something. There's a little recording, and then you leave a message.
And it looked like a pink hotel phone.
Right. And most people just wish them well and happy, whatever. But I did a little more than that with my four messages.
I was getting a little extra. I only left two, but I was I was just that guy. It was fun though.
Comment after Jack's. Jack did a great toast. You know, their son Jack.
Oh my God!
I said that was perhaps the best toast I've ever seen. You know, and then Dean did great, and then Sarah did great. And I said, but this was just the greatest. That I love, because so many weddings we've all been to where the toasts just don't really...
They fall flat. They're not that funny.
And then, well, half of them are, you know, but all three were great.
Yeah.
You know, from her childhood friend to, you know, Dean and Jack, their son. You know, was anybody else? That was it, right? That was three. Am I missing somebody?
You said Sarah.
I did say Sarah, yes.
Yeah.
That was it. They were all good.
Yeah. Which is great.
They weren't too long, and Jack was funny, and...
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
Jack talking about how he can't wait to have his room back because of all the Temu packages that are sitting all in and around his bedroom and on his bed that he had to go across the street and sleep with the homeless people. That I knew it was going to kill. Like, right. I read like the first like four or five lines of it, and I said, you know what, Jack, I don't want to read the rest of this because I want to experience it in real time. I don't want to know exactly what's coming. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay, that's cool. But apparently he read the whole thing to Pete.
Yeah.
Was it Pete?
Jarmila?
No, it wasn't Pete. It was Josh, the barber. Because I went in and Jack had just gotten his hair cut by the same barber that I got my beard trimmed up and lined up.
Okay.
Like a half hour before I got there. And he was telling Josh about the various, you know, his, and read the whole thing. And it, like, just Josh's like, man, that's so great.
He had a pink tuxedo thing. I think it was a tuxedo or tuxedo.
It was a suit. It was just a regular suit.
His hair was all done up.
Yeah. Jack had a pink suit. His suit looks so good that I took a picture of Jack in multiple poses because Julia needs to see that.
And someone called him Dapper down the bottom of the hill, and I said, it's Jack Dapper.
It's Jack Dapper. Mr. Dapper, if you nasty.
So now we have a comic character name for some potential, you know, Jack Dapper. Dapper.
What an incredible time.
It was fun. It really was fun. The cake was really good.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I don't know what the hell that cake was.
Bearded baker made it. It was just a homemade.
But there were different herbs or something in there. There was
probably
was
not
different.
Herbs. I don't think there was rosemary or anything.
I think there was.
Oh, okay.
I'm serious.
Really?
Yes. I'm going to find out from Julia.
Yeah, it was really good. It was in fact, I didn't even get my own piece. Crystal gave Jeremy a piece.
Two.
He was like, I don't need to eat that. And I was like, well, I'll fucking eat it without having to get up and get it.
Oh, Jeremy didn't want to have it or something.
Yeah.
Is that right?
So he had like one bite, and I'm like, I'll take the rest of it. And he's like, please.
Because it wasn't like, you know, a lot of wedding cake is nice and expensive, and some is not. So just some is kind of average. And then unique.
You pay a lot of money for it to look good.
Right.
And sometimes it just tastes
like fondant or something like that.
Yeah.
Like you can... Frisbee those pieces of icing across the room.
but this one looked good and tasted delicious.
Yeah. So there you have it.
There's our wedding breakdown from the weekend.
It was, and I think they're going on their honeymoon in, he said June 16th or something like that, in Mexico.
Mexico.
So that's coming up. And what is the date right now? The day is the 7th. Okay, so
we're
not promoting the first Friday yet, are we?
No.
Coming up. Okay, we will next time or the next time, whatever it is.
We've got to make sure that it's going to be, the street's going to be open, that it's going to be, all that is going to be taken care of.
They're already pushing it a lot right now on social media.
Oh, are they?
About the event coming up, different shares.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. There's a certain... Remember I told you, I said, I'm not sure I want to talk about this. It's a certain female attribute that is almost a non-starter for me. And it seems, you're going to go, really, Paul?
Maybe not. You never know, because I have my own neuroses.
Because there were, I won't even say, whatever. But it's like, I can't do that.
Okay.
And it's not something like, oh, yeah, if they're a smoker or they have really bad body odor or I don't know. You know, it's something that would be obvious, like, okay, that's going to be really tough to handle. You know what I mean? It's not one of those things like it'd be fully understandable why you couldn't, not you, why somebody couldn't date someone.
Right.
You know, maybe they were super openly, publicly racist or something. You know what I'm saying? Or something weird.
Yeah,
like
that's kind of a deal breaker
for
me.
Not one of those things. Okay. If someone's got really, this is, people go, really, Paul? Really thin lips. Deal breaker. Absolute deal breaker. My stepmother does not listen to this podcast. She does not have, she has very thin lips.
My ex-girlfriend said that she always said that she had bird lips. Because she had no lips whatsoever.
Is it
so
true?
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Your ex who? Ex-girlfriend.
Yeah,
ex-girlfriend, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, from years ago. And I'm like, oh, honey, it's not that big of a deal. But then it got into my head, and I'm like, she doesn't have any fucking lips.
She planted the seed.
She planted the seed in my head about 2 weeks after we started dating, and we were together five years.
God, why did she tell me that?
But it was overcomable because she had other assets that were just kind of made up for it.
Sure.
But it's not like it's not a deal breaker for me. It's not a non-starter.
Well, unlike a lot of people, I'm looking for deal breakers.
I understand. Yeah, no, yeah, it's called self-sabotage, and
yeah,
you should talk
I'm
to your therapist
I'm like,
about it.
Nope, don't thank you. If I can find any excuse not to.
I understand where you're coming from because you're a detail-oriented person.
Right.
But you don't have the fullest lips there, sir.
I've got decent male lips.
You have decent male lips. You don't have beautiful male lips like me or Mr. Mike
Who
Nunez.
Would know with all your fucking hair on your face?
I get compliments on my lips all the time. I don't have hair on my lips.
Not on your actual skin lips,
yeah,
no,
uh-huh,
but they're surrounded
uh-huh
by it. So the uh-huh actual outside detail is hard to see.
It's accentuated. It's like shaving just your butthole to accent the butthole.
I'm going to examine my lips really carefully.
I was just giving you shit and a complex at the same time.
That's fine. I'm going to really look at it, though, a little closer. Maybe I do have thin male lips.
Is that like if everything else about a woman is aesthetically pleasing, you're going to focus on the lips?
Well, aesthetically pleasing and obviously all the
Let's
other
say they have great
smart,
eyebrows.
Good personality, all that stuff.
Eyebrows, clavicle. Great personality, good credit score, their own business,
probably
and they have
not
bird lips, and you're going to have a problem with the bird
lips?
My
credit score dropped recently, and I'm pissed off about it.
It's because you haven't been using credit cards,
no,
maybe?
No, it's because I opened up a bigger line of credit on purpose to do a little maneuver. I thought, I'm going to do that to do this. And then I went, let me check my credit score now. I fucking dropped it 50 points. I'm like,
oh, shit.
God damn it. You know, and I'm mad about it, and I'm not going to change my spending at all.
Right,
but it'll self adjust anyway. Yeah, God. Speaking of credit score, there's a lot of speaking of relationships and dating and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of dudes I know over the years who got into a relationship or married someone where the woman was pretty deep in debt, and they had to dig out of it. You know, they knew what they were getting into. They said, "Yeah, we're getting married, but we're going to dig out of this fucking hole."
You know what's funny is my experience has been the complete opposite.
Wow.
Is that it's usually the dudes that are in shit, like that are like in deep like debt, and it's the women that are like, all right, they just handle finances better. But that's just been just my experience and knowing just my friends and whatnot.
Right.
I've noticed that it's more the dudes that don't have their shit together. Maybe that's an age thing. You know,
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. This was not
age or maturity thing.
Recently. Wasn't that, you know, this is let's say when I was in Atlanta, you know, in the 90s or something. Maybe it was getting out of the 80s and everybody was going into debt.
Right.
Maybe that's what
maybe.
On the back seat of the 80s going into the 90s. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was.
We got to go back to the lips thing. That's so funny to me.
Not lips of an angel. Hinder.
Yeah,
we talked about Hinder recently,
didn't
we?
Yeah, we did talk about Hinder. So funny.
But I'm thinking, yeah, because there was a woman I was dating when that song was popular and she had really nice lips. So it was... I told her that it was so stupid. It was a Hinder song. I said, that's what you've got. You got Lips of an Angel. And it's true. And so that was kind of our stupid song for, you know,
aww,
2 months. And then
in 2006 when you couldn't escape it off the radio. Like it was everywhere.
Every corner you turned, everything, all the hold music on a bank.
Getting in elevators and it said
pull up to a Jack in the Box and that's playing before they, can I help you? Yeah, could you just put that Hinder song back on?
Can you
and
put that song back on and get me some three street tacos, please? Oh, God.
Yeah, it's one of those, you cannot have, I don't know, it probably wouldn't be a complete deal breaker. That would be really stupid of me if I were to find the actual, if God himself were to come and go, this chick is perfect in every way, and she's never gonna turn on you, and it's gonna support you in all your shit, and you guys are gonna fucking go to the fucking moon together and be an unbelievable couple until the day you both die. But her only negative is she doesn't have full lips, and I probably would at that point. I would go.
It would take literally an act of God.
I think it's what it would take. Yeah.
Oh my God! So you're talking about not only that, but not only a religious experience, but an actual act of God.
Yeah.
My standards aren't that fucking weird. No, it's not. It's not weird. I shouldn't. I'm not trying to denigrate you. It's not that.
Here's another one that I don't. Here's another one that's almost.
And another one.
If it. God, the meeting is over. Thank God. What time
you act
is
like
it?
You had to deal with? It's like 8:15 or something.
It's 8:15.
8:10.
3 hours and 10 minutes. That meeting was, and there was a lot of bad slides.
A lot of bad slides.
PowerPoint. Anyway, a woman has to kind of look like a woman. I don't mean huge breasts. That's not what I mean. They've got to have a hip-to-waist ratio of some kind. And a lot of them don't have that.
We're getting hashtag canceled, so enjoy
no
this last episode.
It. We are, and it's just me. And you got. I know I'm not dating anyway, so it's like, well, Paul's not going to date in this town. Really? Make a change in my life. Go ahead.
It's not. Well, I mean, it we all like what we like.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
You know,
we talked about it visually across the room. You know what someone looks like.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you can be attracted without even hearing their voice. And if you can see they have a nice shape and it's attractive, hey, but she looks pretty good. I like her shape from here.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll go.
Well,
talk
and women
to her.
Do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They judge you by your shoes, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
That's a huge one.
I know. I got a lot of compliments on my shoes last Saturday for the wedding. Those black and white checkered Vans.
I got compliments on my boots.
Those are. I was probably the first person. Maybe. Those are such nice boots.
I before long, I was thinking it might turn into a boot smelling happenstance again, like
oh,
happened.
Oh God!
In Cellar Door that one time. Oh,
you took off your boot and had people smell it.
I did, and they
good.
Agreed. Wow, that was worth doing.
That was worth.
Paul. It,
the,
thank you.
The
for,
moist smell of wet leather.
It wasn't really quite wet, but yeah. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So yeah, shoot. They notice shoes. They notice stuff. They notice if you're well groomed. They notice if you have a regular watch on. Women don't like Apple Watches, by the way. I'm telling you right now.
By the way, correct.
They do not like Apple Watches.
And if you're getting dressed up for any reason, don't wear a fucking Apple Watch.
Nope.
Better
to have no watch than an Apple Watch.
I almost wore a nice watch that I have that my father gave me from years. It's actually from my grandfather.
Right.
And I haven't taken it to, like, Diamond Brothers or whoever I could take it to have them kind of work on it because it doesn't work. It needs it's battery operated,
mm-hmm.
And have them go through
it needs
and
a
clean
battery.
It needs a battery. So, mm-hmm. But also like the way that I was wearing the suit and the jacket, like it wouldn't have been until way later on in the night that I would have been able to see it. Plus,
that's okay.
I personally think that if you're gonna wear something that is gold or silver,
mm-hmm.
and it's your watch, you need mm-hmm. to have another piece to set it off, and I don't have anything else.
That is
now maybe
that
I need to change
correct.
That.
And you kind of need—I don't say you, but you kind of need a. You don't have to have expensive watches. You got to have one with a brown band and one with a black band, and you know, and you can spend only $50 on decent-looking watches anyway, just to look okay.
Yeah.
If you're going out and that kind of thing, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Yeah, I would agree. You've got to have like if you're wearing brown boots, for example, it's kind of like the shoes and belt
and
matching.
Belt, yeah.
If you get your watch band should be close.
Yeah.
You know, to the same colors. You know, fashion tips here on Cartoon Casual.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
These are things that that were passed on to us by either our fathers, grandfathers. Mm-hmm. In my case, it was mostly my grandfather
mm-hmm.
with stuff like that because he always was well put together. He always had. If it was in wintertime, it was a long sleeve Western cut shirt tucked into some sort of slacks. Very rarely did he wear denim.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost always some sort of slack or work pants that
right.
had a crease in them and shit.
And he wasn't of the generation either that had kind of decent denim that you could actually dress up a little bit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And he discovered that later on.
Yeah.
Later on. And he would wear, so look, check out these Levi's. They're actual Levi's because he used to call anything that was denim Levi's.
Yeah. Kind of like every soft drink is a Coke.
Yeah, that's the fucking Southern thing. What kind of Coke do you have? Sprite, please. Okay.
I'll have a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I'll have a Dr. Pepper. Yes. I experienced that in Alabama. But my grandfather gave me a lot of wisdom when it came to how to dress properly and tying a tie and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you have to remember, it's okay to talk about those things to maybe a younger generation or even people our own age that maybe just didn't benefit from having, men in our lives that knew better.
I know people right now that you know that are younger and they should know, but they have no idea how to tie a tie.
No idea.
And they don't really want to either.
Well, you
know, no, dude, you kind of want to just in case.
Well, you know what sucked is that tie that I was wearing on Saturday, I wanted to do a full Windsor.
Right.
Instead of the half Windsor. Because the half Windsor, I have a big head and a thick neck,
mm-hmm.
right? And a half Windsor is just too small.
Mm-hmm.
I need something a good size. And the collar that I have, the shirt that I had fit the neck properly, which mm-hmm. is rare for me, mm-hmm. especially for an $8 shirt from fucking Ross.
Right.
And I got it right, but my tie that I was wearing is just not fucking long enough to do. Like, it's just like you
is
doing
a recent purchase?
No, it was actually a gift.
Okay.
I just need to
buy an appropriate tie.
I need to buy an appropriate tie.
To have one ready to go is what you need.
Well, I need to buy an appropriate black tie
yeah.
to do that type of, to be a little more formal.
So I have a bunch of, it's been a while since I purchased a tie, but I've got a bunch of ties that I still really like, but they're definitely from the 90s, but I still like the way they fucking look. And I've always wondered, God, I wonder if I go out, if that's really going to look dated or those are kind of cool again or something. Have you seen my collection of ties?
I have not.
That I have. Let's bring that out in halftime.
Oh my god!
We're gonna look at the Dave Chappelle blue or the music thing, like getting white people to move,
yeah.
and my tie collection. And you can tell me, you might say, yeah, these are kind of cool as shit, and they're mostly silk. But you may go, these are too fucking dated, Paul.
Yeah, no, I can. I'll check them out.
I still love my ties.
I'm not the be-all, end-all of fashion, current fashion, but, like, I might be able to eyeball a few of them,
yeah.
you know?
I think some are unique.
I don't like pattern ties. I think they look fucking dumb, personally.
You mean you like even patterns or just stuff on the tie?
Just fucking stuff on the tie.
You're not gonna like my ties, then.
I have plain
ones, too, but I'm talking about...
I like different colors, but I like vibrant colors. I like...
just a plain
like
tie.
Novelty ties
are
like whatever. Like, why the fuck would you have that?
Like a solid color.
Solid colors.
And that's it.
Right.
How many solid color ties do you have?
I have a gray, not shiny, gray, shiny, red silk. So it's shiny or sateen or whatever. I have a black one that I wore. It's more of a skinnier tie.
Mm-hmm.
I have... two bow ties, one clip on, like clip mm-hmm. pre-tied, and one regular. And I have the only pattern tie that I have was a gift in my kilt, and it's my tartan.
Right.
And that's a short tie, and that's meant for a very specific, I don't even have a shirt to go with
I
it.
I have one of those, but my other
one. That's about the only pattern tie that I would like.
My other ones are pat, yeah, so that's what makes them a little more dated, too. I am not sure in my inventory if I have a solid tie right now, which means I probably could use one just to have it just in case. Because here's the problem with being in Kingwin, as you know, is that something could come up and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go out. Like, I had a very large laughing, you know, it's a mall, but it still is there with a Macy's and,
yeah.
and a good Dillard's and some other stuff there that I guarantee I could get a good dress shirt that fit well
yep.
and a good tie within 30 minutes.
And here we'd have to drive 50 minutes to have
it. And it may not have it.
And you may not hit something.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. So you got to kind of have this stuff ready to go.
In the just so you know, mm-hmm. Ross has a decent selection of ties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we may be getting, no, we're going to be getting, does Marshalls have men's clothes?
I believe so.
Would they have ties?
Probably.
So we're getting a Marshalls, we think.
Yeah.
At the old JCPenney's.
Allegedly.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Well, let's take a break and look at your ties
let's
and watch
that.
Some Dave Chappelle. We'll
All
be
right,
back,
cool.
folks.
Just a bachelor. I'm looking for a partner.
do to you.
We close out the wedding. Well, actually, we did watch the Dave Chappelle music.
We watched it.
Which is funny. Dave Chappelle is a fucking genius. There you have it. It was a funny skit, right?
Yes, very much so.
This is not really a wedding, but this is me in public. This is a quirky thing that I do. Maybe you do this. Maybe no people do this. Maybe go, this is out of bounds. This is really weird, Paul, but I get it because you're kind of neurotic that way. Okay. So there's two bathrooms at this place. Remember that?
Right, yeah, both unisex bathrooms.
So walk in there. And I walk in, and people before me had peed on the floor, which they do. Usually it's not a woman. It's a guy, right?
It's usually a guy.
Usually a guy, right? But not a lot, but it's there. So what do I do? Because I know people that are behind me that know me. I'm going to clean this fucking piss up so that when I leave the bathroom, people don't think that I did that.
Right.
I do that all the time in public bathrooms.
Yeah.
In places that people know that are behind me.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
If there's a toilet brush nearby, I will touch up a toilet because I don't want somebody to think that I blasted off in there.
I'm talking about a pee on the floor. I will get paper or toilet paper and wet it a little bit and wipe it down.
I have also been known to do that. It depends on how excessive it is. If it's a dark bar or something like that. But yeah, in the setting that you're talking about, 100%.
Or if it's like, you're right, if it's like a lot of pee, I'll probably make a comment when I go out and go, holy crap,
I will
there's a lot of pee in that floor.
Yeah, and in fact, I mentioned that to, it wasn't pee on the floor, it was other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, and I just walked up to the coordinator, hey, listen, bathroom two, the one on the right, yeah, it needs to be serviced. And she's like, what is it? I'm like, the toilet and the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, I'll get on it. Yeah, I'm like, I'm sorry. If there were supplies in there, I would have done it myself and never would have said anything because I know you're busy.
Right.
But that's the industry.
If someone's upper decked a fucking thing, I'll clean that off too because I don't want to walk out of there and people think that I did it. I do that too.
Yeah. That
I really do.
Yeah. I think that speaks volumes about where we came from.
Well, I don't want people to think I did it.
Well, I don't want people to think that I did it.
Right.
And, but I also usually recognize how busy an establishment might be that they don't have the opportunity to get into the bathroom and clean it because I've gone hours at Blackbridge while bartending. Somebody's told me, hey, there's this bathroom needs to be taken care of. I'm like, okay, I'll get on it. And you cannot fucking get in there because somebody's in there every time you try and go. And you're busy and you can't keep eyes on the door and be like, all right, everybody stop. Somebody blew feces all over the back of the toilet.
I wish more bathrooms had like some small cabinet in there with some disinfectant stuff
I
could clean it up a little bit better when I see this.
I would really like to know how many people would actually use it. I know you and I would. Yes.
Every fucking time I go to
Paul's raising
bathroom.
His hand. I would also do that. I don't think that's a weird quirk. I think that comes from, one, not wanting people to think that you're the one who made the mess.
Right.
And then silently judging you for it.
Well, if you have one bathroom, it's unisex, and there are women that have to sit down to go to the bathroom, what they're doing, and now someone's fucked up the toilet?
Yeah, and what about somebody's the fucking pants that are going to, like their pant legs are going to get in the piss? Like, that's gross.
All that stuff. That's why, that's also why, we talked about this before, and Crystal mentioned it too, that's why every I have a hook in that bathroom. I got a hook downstairs. Every bathroom needs a hook on it.
I agree.
It's not just for a purse. It's for a jacket or a coat or something.
Or your pants.
You may need to hang up. You may need to hang up something.
Yeah,
something. You know, and if there's no way to do it, it sucks.
You know, humans are the
public bathroom.
Humans are the only the only mammal that leaves their pants on to go to the bathroom.
I don't leave my pants on. Oh, I'm sorry.
To go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay. It's much better if you have the option to take your pants off, or whatever you're wearing, completely off, like if you're at home or something like that.
Yeah.
It's better to take them off.
Yeah, I agree.
End of story.
Yeah, and imagine how nice it would be. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'd have to talk to women about it, but I know that, like, and they're still kind of popular now, the, what are they called, rompers? It's like a one piece. Like imagine,
oh, yeah.
Imagine like fancier version of like
coveralls.
Not coveralls, but bib overalls.
Oh, bib. Okay, yeah.
And
coveralls.
Yeah, not quite flight suit level. Okay, yeah. You know, but not like working at the docks in Jersey. No,
right.
think farmer.
Right.
But you know, ladies have those, and for them to go to the bathroom, they have to basically strip down.
Right.
And it's not basically. They do have to strip down.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you didn't have to strip down, or you stripped down, you had a place to hang your shit up. I think that would maybe people would like that. Then again, you are completely potentially topless and bottomless in a public bathroom.
Which is a little odd.
Which is odd, but, you know, hey, that's your fashion choice, and I'm not going to judge you for
Every single public bathroom should have a hook.
Yeah.
Or two hooks.
It should have two hooks, and it should have cleaning supplies, either in a cabinet.
Sure.
Or
a little bit.
Just a little bit.
One spray bottle of something.
Yeah.
Something. Could be a bottle of 409. Could be just the industrial shit that you add soap to. Could be a little bleach in a bottle that's in there, and it's water in bleach or something.
Yeah.
Something like that would be nice. There you have it.
That's Paul's neuroses, which is just aligns up with mine just fine. I thought you were going to bring up something that was going to be really out of pocket.
It's like you also don't want to be forever in there, too. It's like, oh, fuck, I got to clean this up real quick. You know, so I got to do that. So it's not like, I'm sorry I took forever in there.
Except you left it cleaner than it when you showed up.
Right.
So.
And then what you want to do is keep track of people. So if you go in there like five people later and you go back in there and it's fucked up. All right, one of you fuckers did that.
You narrow it down to the nasty ass.
Right.
Who had fucking Taco Bell earlier today? What's the problem here?
There you have it.
I swear to God, I thought you were going to come up with something really fucking out there.
Give me an idea that, I know it may not be exactly, but like to what level, like what, like I lick the toilet seat or something like that?
Would it be No. I had no idea. I just thought it was going to be different than tidying up the bathroom so that people don't think it's you that destroyed it.
But I did say it was in the bathroom earlier.
Yeah.
Right? So you had to, like, what does Paul do in the bathroom? That's the
like
question.
Now, like, what does Paul do in the bathroom?
Like
we all know he thinks his shit doesn't stink. So, what is?
What does he do in the bathroom?
What would you say you do in there?
So you think it'd be worse or more weird than what I just said? Is that what you were saying?
I thought it was going to be way more weird.
Like weird.
Yeah.
Like a weird thing. Like pick my nose hair
like
out or something.
I have an old, very old friend of mine. We used to work together at the phone company. When she goes into a bathroom to use the facility, she flushes the toilet before she ever even unbuttons her pants because she likes a fresh bowl.
Okay. Even if it's clear water.
Even if it's clear water. Somebody could be hydrated and could have pissed in there.
Okay.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. That's so wasteful. She's like, I don't care. And I've been like that since I was a little kid.
Right.
Because I think it's gross. I'm like, if so, it's clean water just sitting there, she goes, but you don't know that.
But if you combine that with what I do, so you could then, you could first wipe the floor from the urine, get the urine off the fucking floor.
Yeah.
And then and wipe maybe the seat and get it all kind of clean and then put that in the bowl and then flush it. Now you've done two things.
Now you got a completely fresh shitter. Just
you got a fresh
just
shitter
to
plus a clean, clean floor.
Oh, my God.
But you have to think about that, right? If there's something on the floor and you got a drop trowel or something.
Yeah,
to,
it, no,
you
absolutely.
Think about,
like,
I have now gotten my cuffs on my fucking pants.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever was on the floor is now on my cuffs.
Fucking gross.
It's gross.
Yeah, it's like you said, you should have a hook
right.
for, say, a jacket. Like this past weekend, you were wearing a blazer, I was wearing a suit jacket.
Right.
Like we, if either one of us needed to do a number two.
Right.
We need to have a place to hang our jacket because I don't want the back, like the tails
Hell
of my jacket
no.
on the back of the shitter.
And
gross.
I have to remember, I think I would have noticed if there were no hooks in those bathrooms. There had to be hooks. Did you notice?
There were hooks in it.
Okay, because
yeah.
I would have made.
Yeah,
that
that's
a
nice facility. Like that. I'm. That's two weddings now. I've been there. Are two receptions I've been to there.
Same.
That were and I'm like this is a nice facility.
Yeah.
It's a. I really like the roll-up doors and the little patio out front for a dance floor.
It's not to have you guys didn't. It's up at the Hualapai Mountains at the resort. There's a newer. It's not that new anymore.
Three,
but it's
4 years.
Newer facility. It's newer-ish.
Yeah.
For things and popular. It's wedding receptions or even the wedding ceremony could be in there.
Yeah.
You put it in there and it's a great. If the weather's good, like it was for us, you know, when the garage door looking things were open and it was cool. It was nice.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was so fun.
It was a ton of fun.
All right, so I'm turning more tuna. Did I tell you that? A little bit, we talked about.
Oh,
tuna.
Oh yeah, let's bring up your your tuna situation because I love tuna, whether it's fresh caught in a can. If you had tortured 50 dolphins to give me one can of tuna, I love the dolphins, but I really love tuna.
And usually, like when egg prices were going up, when they were stupid, when people said, "Oh, it's Biden's eggs," it wasn't. They had to kill. They had to slaughter like 20 million chickens.
It
or
was.
Something
it
ridiculous.
Was. It really was. And that's not even an outrageous figure. And I think it was more than
right,
that.
They had to like half the chicken population had to get killed.
Yeah.
Because of whatever the frick they had.
Avian flu, I think.
Yeah. And that was a few years ago. Anyway. So now prices are more reasonable. But anyway. So I said, well, I kind of want some protein and I like eggs. So what am I going to fucking tuna? Let's see how much tuna fish is now. Which is also weird. Someone pointed out, why do we call it tuna fish and not like, you know, meat, cow? It should be just tuna. It's tuna fish. Why do we say fish on the end of it?
That's I don't weird, know.
Isn't it? Isn't it kind of weird?
It is
just
weird.
Just call it tuna.
I just call it tuna.
It's not chicken something, whatever.
Chicken yard.
Whatever. Okay. So and normally and usually it is, you can get it for a buck a can or some off-brand for a buck a can or less.
Yeah.
79 cents a can sometimes, 75, whatever, you know what I mean? Or $1.29.
I like getting the pouches instead of the cans.
Why?
It's more sustainable, and because packaging prices are for those foil packs are less than a metal can.
Are they?
They're usually cheaper, okay. And you get the same amount, if not more.
Okay.
So Walmart, it's usually 77 cents for one of those packets.
So I've had, if you notice, I've had tuna, not gonna say fish. I've had
tuna,
canned tuna there for a while, and there was like a 4 or 5 have been in, and then finally one day I didn't have any food in here, you know, during the day, so I said I need something to eat, so I just opened up one of those and a little salt and pepper and some mayonnaise and probably some onion or something. And I just ate it, you know, mixed it all up and ate it. It was really good. I just had that for lunch from now on this week. So I did that and then I went out and bought some more because I was kind of on a tuna. I got on these little kicks.
Yeah,
and
I do too.
I'll stay on it for a month and I'll get off of it, whatever. Anyway, so
I bought 10 cans of tuna yesterday.
Right. So I mentioned that to Carol who works here and the name tuna came up and that's it. And guess what comes across my Facebook fucking feed?
Hey, look at that.
This. Which is natural catch. It's what it's called. And this is kind of, it's called, I guess, designer tuna, if you for a better word. But it says, you know, it's line caught. You know, it's not net.
Yeah.
Can't prove it, but that's what they claim anyway. I think it's caught in Thailand, but it's line caught. This is olive oil. And this says Fiesta salad, which is kind of weird. But there's some beans in here and some corn.
Oh, so it has other stuff in
yeah,
it. It's not
chunk
just straight
tuna.
Tuna.
Yeah. It's really good. It just showed up 2 days ago. And I went,
did you just buy one can?
I'm having more than those. No, I bought 8.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like a pack of, and it was not bad price. I mean, it wasn't like outrageous at all.
It was 8 cans for.
I don't really remember now. I'll report back to you.
It's probably $35
or
something.
No, it was less than that. Okay. I don't think it was that much.
Okay.
But it's like I can eat one of these. This is all I have to have for lunch, and it's good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and it's only, and I've also learned, and you probably know, a can of tuna more or less has about 100 calories.
Yeah.
And these vegetables in here don't have very many calories. It's like 120 calories for a can. You have two of these, 240, and that's been enough for me for the last week and a half. So I have my other cans of tuna in there, and then I have these. But they also have other stuff, too. They have, I think, mackerel as well, but they have other plain tuna in olive oil, and then maybe maybe tuna with a hunk of some kind of pepper in there only. They have a bunch of different, but it's, again, it's called Natural Catch.
Natural Catch. We are not sponsored by them.
No, we are not.
Not yet.
Maybe we'll...
Let me see that thing.
Maybe it'll come raining down. Natural Catch will come down to us. And, but I really like it.
Oh, it's yellowfin. Okay. Pole and line caught.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
I think it's from Thailand. If you look in the back of it, it says where it is because I think it said that.
Processed somewhere? In Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam. Okay. Be it fucking Nam. And you can see what other ingredients are in there.
Oh, you know, just so you know, it does contain fish in case you have allergies.
There's actually fish in there.
Yeah. No shit. Okay.
Anyway, it comes in a box with eight of those in there.
Is it your typical like sardine style?
No, it's
or is it like a packet?
Oh, it is. Yeah, you pull it. Yeah, you pull it out. Yeah. So you don't have to have a can opener.
That's cool.
Natural
Catch.
I was impressed with it.
Like, I think we've talked about this before. If I had my choice and I had the money, I would eat the only protein that I would get in my life would be eggs and fish.
Right.
And I could actually drop fish, or I could drop eggs, rather, from that and eat nothing but seafood because I fucking love fish.
So I'm thinking that this might be, like, you just take it out of the box. The box isn't necessary. It has the can in there. Like, this might be a good couple of snacks to go on a hike.
Oh, yeah,
you
absolutely.
You could open it up there. And what I would bring is probably a plastic bag to put it in and seal it up so it doesn't stink up everything and
right.
litter, obviously, and bring it down with you. But this would be a good – I'm telling you, it's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We used to bring Kipper snacks on Boy Scout trips all the time.
Speaking of the Boy Scouts, they changed their name today. Did you see that? It was an announcement.
What?
It's called – yeah, they – it's not a, like a joke, doesn't it? Oh, you know what the Boy Scouts are called
the
now?
The Catholic Church. Yo!
It's something like Scout America or American
Scouting.
Scouts or
oh,
something.
Oh, man, really?
I know you would appreciate that or not appreciate that because you were a Boy Scout. But I just saw it came over the news feed somewhere like they've – officially changed their name. I thought it was today.
Changed to Scouting America.
There you go.
Well, that's to be more inclusive.
Yes.
And I was...
That's not a bad name.
It's not a bad name. No. The name's fine. I don't give a shit about the name. It's right. What's going on behind it, and that's helping young people... See,
so is it not true that they've combined the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are going to be with them too now? And
no,
all that?
No. Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts are the and Scouting America will probably never combine together. They're two separate. They are two separate organizations. They've never really truly been affiliated.
So you think Scouting America will be separate from the Girl Scouts?
Yeah, just like it always has been.
No, but Scouting America is the Boy Scouts is now Scouting America.
The BSA, Boy Scouts of America, changed their is changing. They haven't quite done
right,
it yet
to Scouting
America.
Okay,
and that's just to be more inclusive.
But I thought
of
they were letting,
all genders.
Letting women in there, girls.
They've been letting
in
girls
there.
In there since the '90s.
They have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been completely able to join since the '90s. Okay. Now, there just weren't a lot of girls that wanted to do it, but there were some enough to where they had to make some rule changes.
Why would a girl want to join the Boy Scouts?
Because
this is a good. Seriously, I'm not being a
truth
dick.
Be told. All you have to do is ask my mom.
Okay.
My mom was in Girl Scouts for a couple of years, and she's like, "This is stupid. All they did was
sell
knitting."
Cookies.
I think that was even predates the cookies
because
okay. This would have been like the late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
The knitting. All it was like knitting and darning socks, and she wanted to do cool shit. She
actual
knew what,
skills.
She already,
well, that's her skills. Knitting
those are skills that she already had.
Okay,
because they were kind of poor and lived in the middle of nowhere where there wasn't a tailor.
She learned how to start a fire with a couple of sticks and things.
Yeah,
like that.
Shit yeah. like that, like the stuff that her older brother knew how to do and her dad knew how to do.
Yeah,
and so she didn't really ever get into Girl Scouts. That's but the thing is, like, Girl Scouting now is different. The Girl Scouts now is like, at least in the past 20 years, mm-hmm. Or maybe even more, they're way more active with the camping and hunting and fishing and shooting guns.
They're doing
guns
more
at camp.
Things like the Boy Scouts.
Absolutely. And what it was, I mean, you're talking about two organizations that came about in three generations ago.
Yeah.
4 generations ago for the Boy Scouts. Robert Baden-Powell established Boy Scouts in like 1906.
Mm-hmm.
And then the United States like took over like 1920 or something. So like it's been, we're talking 4 generations, 5, potentially 5 generations of boys that have gone through there. And I'll defend them as the day is long, at least my troop. I can only speak for my troop and my council that I was a part of.
Yes.
That we did tremendous things in the community. Did good works for the community. That taught me a lot of that, and the hard work ethic taught me innumerate amounts of skills
mm-hmm.
that I use on a daily basis.
Yeah,
and I mean, you have there's the Scout Law. It was funny. I was just talking about this about a month ago.
Scout Law.
Do you remember this? Were you in Boy Scouts?
I was not.
I didn't think so. Yeah, I can tell. We can smell our own usually.
Fine.
But it's but people who were also raised right,
yes,
were raised by the same tenets and covenants.
So what is the Scout Law?
Scout Law is
you can memorize the whole thing.
Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Okay,
in that order.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No,
I have a problem.
There's really nothing in there that is like reverent is about the only thing in there that's like, what if I'm not religious? You can revere things.
Yeah, you can have
and you can have respect
without,
for things.
Yeah,
it's like you know. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, sure. friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, mm. cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
It,
like all of those things are great. Like a,
and all that would kind of encompass. I thought about this today for some stupid reason about the golden rule. You know, treat those like you like to be treated yourself,
yeah.
kind of thing. I mean, all those things would kind of fall in that category in a way.
They all do.
Because if you're respectful and
yeah.
courteous and all that, that's you would like someone to be courteous to you.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. It's kind of a that's what you would like to have to happen in your life. All these things. So, and I wonder where the golden rule, I was going to look that up. Where, I think a lot of religions have kind of the golden rule, but where did it come from?
Yeah, they
from
all
originally?
Do. I'm sure it goes way back,
thousands
way,
of
way
years.
Back. Yeah.
Yep.
There's other things too, like that. And you're, I'm sure you've seen this before, and I've been bad about it lately, but I almost always carry some sort of blade with me. It's out of my truck, but it's not my person.
Mm-hmm.
But it, one of those things is the Scout motto is be prepared.
Right.
And that's be prepared for literally anything.
I thought about that the other day, and I thought, I have not carried a knife, and I would not carry a big knife or a fat
no,
one.
No, no, no. I have a little tiny short blade knife that I keep razor fucking sharp 80% of the time.
It's got to be thin to where it can fit in your front pocket. It's not
oh, it's
bulky.
Front, yeah, front pocket. Mine's only like 2.5 inches, 3 inches long. It's
right.
perfect size.
But it's for, the body is skinny, though. You know what I'm saying?
Very,
it's not,
very
it's not
thin.
A fat
yeah,
old
yeah. No, it's only about that
Swiss
wide.
Swiss Army
yeah.
knife or something.
No.
Yeah.
The other thing with the Boy Scouts is that other than the God thing in there, but that's like it was a religious organization, and most Boy Scout troops over the past century and a half or century and a quarter have been sponsored by churches, whatever church it may be.
Yeah,
is the Scout Oath, which is let's see if I can remember this one. It's on my honor, I'll do my best to do my duty to God and my country, to help other people at all times, and to keep myself. Physically fit, morally straight. Shit, I lost the last. I haven't recited this in 30 years, so.
Physically
fucking
fit, morally straight.
Myself morally straight, physically fit, and something else.
And to clean the public bathroom floor.
Right, to clean the public bathroom floor. But, like, a lot of the things that I do in my life and the weird quirks that I have are because of Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And. Looking back on it, yeah, it was great. It was good for a lot of us boys who either didn't have a dad around. The dad that we did have around, some of us in that troop, was a piece of shit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or for whatever reason, the dad that we did have around or male role models in our life, there was a gap in their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it really taught you team building. It taught you respect for yourself, respect for other people. I mean, there's all these little things in there when even down to like sitting around telling campfire stories. it teaches you to listen rather than waiting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, that are just like the cornerstones of a deep, like a, just a decent human being.
And,
but a lot of people didn't get that.
No, and I'm not going to complain about it. Like, oh, it sucks. Cause it's not popular anymore. I mean,
it's not as popular as it used
away.
To be.
It's gone, not 100%.
Well, I mean, even when I was in say junior high, you know, like in you know, junior high or middle school, whatever you want to call it, and into high school, I mean, I was made fun of all the fucking time
for being in it.
Yeah, until I got to be, hey fellas, did you go to Boy Scout camp? I'm like, no, actually, I was a counselor this year. Really? What'd you do? And I'm like, well, I worked the high adventure ropes course, and I did this, and I did this, and I did advanced wilderness survival, building your own shelters, starting a zero match fire, like what, you did that? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You learned like snorkeling. Boat recovery, sailing, like fun shit. And they're right. Like, you could do that in the Boy Scouts? I'm like, yeah, welcome to ordnance. Yeah, ordnance, okay. Artillery. Wait a second. No, that's not right.
Wait a minute, that was a later organization.
With the Scouts, Scouting America, with the change, I understand why. It's mostly because their funding, they lost a lot of money several years ago when they fought it up against the Mormons, and the Mormons had they were the majority. The Mormon Church sponsored more Boy Scout troops than any other group combined.
And they lost
money
from the Mormons.
And the Mormons were like, we're not letting girls in the Boy Scouts. We're not letting trans boys.
Oh, so that's
why
they lost the money.
And the Boy Scouts of America were like, yeah, you are, or you're out. And they're like, fine. So they just go by Scouts. A lot of money, like 75%.
Yeah, because they have a lot of money.
They have a lot of money, and they have a lot of. It's like practically mandatory to be a Boy Scout if you are male and Mormon. It's almost mandatory, and like it's just compulsory to be in the Boy Scouts, which is a shame.
Yeah,
you know, you shouldn't force anybody to do anything, but it's also they insert their own shit though. Because I went to a few meetings when I first moved to Kingman. I went to three different troop meetings, and one of them was a Mormon troop, and it was like, what the fuck. This is not the same thing. It's like they invented their own shit to insert in between the regular, core Boy Scout beliefs.
Okay,
but anyway,
well, that's weird because the Mormons didn't do that at all with the Bible either. So.
No, not even. No, they're like, hey, we're not going to change this. We're just going to add a whole new fucking book. It's like Jesus 2 Electric Boogaloo,
2.0.
Yeah, Jesus 2.0. Welcome to the Americas.
It wasn't even 1.1. It was a 2.0.
It was definitely just 2.0. They didn't change anything. They just added to it. A bunch of hogwash. Anyhow, so I understand why. So they're kind of doing like a rebrand to, instead of saying Boy Scouts,
mm-hmm.
that we let girls in.
Mm-hmm.
It's Scouting America, and it's mm-hmm. for everybody.
Right.
Which I think is great. I think that's a fantastic thing. I wish that would have been something. I wish they would have started pushing this 25 years ago,
right.
So that I could have thrown my kid into Scouts.
What would be nice if this does? I agree with that. What would be nice if it were inclusive enough, or the rebranding, it doesn't just stop with the name, but they go, okay, we're going to revamp this whole thing. We're going to really try to get younger kids across the board more involved with this, and to get like it was a while back, so people learned politeness and caring and courtesy and helpful and learn basic skills.
Yeah, absolutely.
Basic skills now are going into video games, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
Which sound like an old fucker saying that because I am older, but it's not, I'm not complaining about it, but these are useful things that you learn and you can appreciate in scouting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like you pointed out, it's things that maybe you didn't have it's not like there's not any broken up families anymore, you know? Could use some of this, you know.
Yeah, I would
some
agree 100%.
Across the board.
Think about all of the men now, you know, like younger men, say under 30,
mm-hmm.
that didn't have fathers in the home,
mm-hmm.
or had fathers that they would have been better off with no father.
Right.
And think about how much they would have benefited from Boy Scouts.
Exactly.
If it weren't fucking lame.
Right,
quote unquote, to use the dipshits around me. until they found out that I was doing weird high adventure
shit.
Well,
and a couple generations before that, or at least a generation before that, that were like almost all of the astronauts were Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Like a vast, either like, if not all of them, the like vast the, majority of them were.
The most, the most famous Eagle Scout of all time, the first man on the moon, Neil fucking Armstrong. Right. Like, I really, like that.
Yep.
And that's, I don't have a lot of regrets in my life. I've got a lot of mistakes. Right. But I don't have a lot of regrets that I'll carry around with me, like in the back of my head or in my heart. But one of them is not getting my Eagle Scout. I was very close.
Mm-hmm.
And then just moving, changing from one council to another, finding a new troop, you know, finding volunteer. Because a lot of it is volunteer-based. Mm-hmm. You get people to help you with your Eagle project.
Is there
Eagle
a certain
project.
Minimum age to be Eagle Scout?
No. I mean, you can't really be in Boy Scouts until you're about 13 anyway. 12?
Okay. So...
12 to
how do you,
12
do you advance every year, or can you advance faster than
it? You can advance faster than that. I've met people that have gotten their Eagle in as young as like 14. That's a shitload of work though.
Yeah,
because
there's a lot of requirements you got to meet.
There's a shit ton of merit badges you have to acquire. Like you have to earn and get checked off, and then. There's just but you also have to level up. You've got tenderfoot, you've got first class, second class, second class, then first class, then star, then life, then you can go to Eagle.
And when you're leveling,
and I made it to Life Scout.
When you're leveling up, is it like a monthly meeting where they say, okay, we're going to show these demonstrations or things, or how does this
work?
I can't remember.
A lot of it has to do, I mean, you have to, there's requirements. You have to be assistant, you have a troop, right? So you have a council that handles the entire area.
Okay.
Right. There's like Miami Valley Council. Miami Valley Council is what I was part of
in Ohio. Miami.
Yeah. Valley. There's the Miami River, the Miami Valley Council, and then you have like here you have the Hoover Dam Council, which is like Boulder City, Las Vegas, and Henderson, all that Kingman.
Kingman's in that
Bullhead
area?
City. Yeah.
Okay.
So then you go down to the troops. At one point in time, there were three or maybe four in Kingman, right?
Okay.
So you have each troop. When you divide the troop down, you have senior patrol leader who's in charge of everything. You have patrol leaders is in charge of each patrol. The patrol is the smallest function, right? Or the smallest group. That could be 3 to 5, maybe 7 boys. And so you have to be like, patrol leader, and then you have to serve as a patrol leader for a certain amount of time. Then you have to get to assistant or assistant patrol leader, you know, senior patrol leader, and you have to serve these functions for a certain amount of time before you can level up and rank.
Time meaning calendar days, that kind of
literally calendar days. Yeah.
And if you're highly motivated and your goal is to get through it, then you can just
you could probably do it in 2 years if you really, really put your fucking mind to it.
School and scouting.
And that's kind of it. Yeah. And you have a troop that's active enough that you have because you have to have accredited instructors for those merit badges.
That's true.
Which makes it really difficult to do things like imagine around here trying to do fishing merit badge.
Yeah.
How far do you have to drive for fishing merit badge?
Yeah.
Canoeing, kayaking, life saving.
So if you're really motivated
and
you live in an area that's a little thin like around here, then you have to find somebody who's willing to take you to do these things.
Yep, absolutely.
Which takes effort.
And so that someone has to be able to check you off.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be a scoutmaster or assistant scoutmaster, but you're going to have to find someone who's a qualified instructor.
Which are all these badges and stuff, these pins.
And I can't even think of how many. I want to say it's probably on the level of like 30 merit badges to get the minimum to get your Eagle Scout.
Okay.
And then you have.
Let me ask a question. Are there more than 30, meaning there's a lot more that you have to get 30 out of?
There's well over 100, I'm sure.
Okay, so you have to get 30 of them, let's say, to get
minimums,
all of these.
Right. There's certain minimums you have to hit. Like, if I remember correctly, I'm like emergency preparedness.
Okay.
There's life-saving, first aid.
Stuff that sounds more important and critical.
Very important, critical. Like this is the bare minimum.
Okay.
Yes, basket weaving is one of them. Leather craft is one of them.
Right.
Those things.
But the important things.
But also, not every kid can get to a sailing merit badge. Like my, I got my the majority of my merit badges in Boy Scouts at Scout Camp.
Like if you're in Kansas, it's hard to get a sailing.
I mean, I was in Ohio and got sailing merit badge because there was a small lake at it was a pretty big fucking lake. It's like a 2 mile long and about a half mile wide lake.
Okay.
At the scout camp I went to.
But it can be difficult.
But it can be difficult. And that's why you have a certain minimum. Those minimum ones, they're ones that can be done literally anywhere in the world for the most part.
Like
and that
learning how to like CPR
that way.
Things like that.
Yeah, the first aid, first responder, like the life saving, wilderness survival, things like that. These are things you can do out in a park if you need to, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there's once you get up into life, which is, life is the highest rank below the last rank before you get to eagle, which is what I attained. There's a series of merit badges that are really difficult and they're time consuming, and they require either a service project or essays, dissertations, sometimes oral presentation, things like that.
About a certain topic or acceptable topic that you pick, and they say
absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's there's a reason why if you put down any other accomplishments, achievements you'd like us to know about on an application, you put down Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. Your name, you'll most likely get the job, but you're definitely getting an interview over somebody who is not. Mm-hmm. That's just a thing because it shows that you have an above average knowledge of a certain aspect of life
And an initiative to get
there. So
it
exactly
takes, you have to stick with something.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a college degree, you know, where it may, well, no, it's better than a college degree in some, but you know what I'm saying? It's like you did something. You said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to make it happen. That's that part I'm talking about. But there's probably a lot more useful things being an Eagle Scout than there is having a lot of college degrees.
But then the last thing to get your Eagle Scout is your Eagle project.
Okay.
Which,
give me an example of what a project might be. Or do you know someone that had a project that you were aware of that's what they did? Or
oh, yeah. No, I can name off like three badass projects. Okay. One was in the middle of the Miami River in Troy, just like north of like a main area of downtown Troy, Ohio. There's an island in the river that used to be part of a park. There used to be a bridge that went over a little channel, the narrower part of the river, onto this island. And then there was a
How big of an island?
Maybe 100 yards long,
by
50, 60 yards wide.
Okay.
Small island, but there were concrete benches and picnic tables and grills, and there used to be a giant, I've seen pictures of it when my dad was in Boy Scouts, this giant, when I saw it,
it seemed
25
giant.
Years ago, yeah. Well, it's a giant chimney for a large fireplace that was part of a shelter that was built there that had fallen in disrepair. It was all overgrown, and somebody had the idea, brilliant idea.
Was this like a historic shelter, like many years old or something?
Probably like 100 years old, 80 years old.
Okay.
In the 90s, it would have been probably like 75 years old and just fell into disrepair.
Okay.
The Parks District didn't want to deal with
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's built during the Great Depression or something.
That's what I'm thinking. WPA kind of thing. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
So I remember thinking, man, this would be a great Eagle project. And I kept that in the back of my mind. And then years later, I
had to fix that chimney.
To fix
something.
That up.
Okay.
And not just the chimney, the whole fucking island.
That's a lot of work.
So that's what somebody did. One of those scouts from my troop in about 2010, maybe 2011.
Mm-hmm.
It was early 2010 because I went out there in fall of 2010 and my stepdad said, hey, do you remember that, the island there just north or, you know, upriver from Treasure Island? I said, yeah. Somebody took the initiative from Troop 82, which is my old troop. Somebody took the initiative from Troop 82 and did the Eagle project you were talking about.
Are you supposed to do like all the labor by yourself or something?
No,
like that?
You do the legwork, you do the
organization
of it all, and then you get volunteers. And sometimes people don't get volunteers.
Yeah,
that goes along with don't be a dick.
Yeah,
which is like kind of the easiest way of just distilling down all of the whole Boy Scout ethos is don't be a dick and help other people.
If you're courteous and helpful and all, then you should be able to get people to help
you. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous.
Yeah.
People are going to help you.
Yeah.
And that's also kind of paying it forward because later on, then you get to help somebody else.
Yeah.
That's why, like, anytime if I ever hear about it, the last time I volunteered, I don't even know the kid's name, but they put in the paper this date on this, at this time, at this park, it's a Cecil Davis Park.
Yes.
Over off of Wallapai Mountain Road, where the splash pad is.
Yes.
This one kid, his Eagle project, I think there was four shelters over there that were just in shitty disrepair. He got True Value to donate a whole bunch of awning material and ladders and equipment and things like that. Some other place, like I think it was Steel Erection, that the steel place here in town donated gloves and safety equipment. And they said, on this day, we're going to go out and we're going to paint. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And he's looking for volunteers. I'm like, fuck that. I volunteered with so many fucking Eagle projects. And I remember being one of like five people out of 30 that show up.
Yeah.
So I went and volunteered a couple hours and helped out just because.
Did other people show up
too? Oh, yeah. No, there was probably 15 or 20 people out there. And they got it all done in a day. And I recognized no one there. And they were all in the Boy Scouts were – all the Scouts were in uniform. I walked up to the one and I was like, are you so-and-so? He's like, yeah. What's your name? I said, my name's Joe. I'm a former Scout. I never made it to Eagle. I only made it to Life. But I saw your thing in the paper and I figured I'd come and lend a hand. Mm-hmm. Met his dad, their Scoutmaster, assistant Scoutmaster.
Cool.
You know, it was cool. It was really cool. But that's an idea of a project. So what this boy did and his group of volunteers in Ohio is they cleared the brush out, cut down any overgrown small live trees,
mm-hmm.
and were able to yank stumps out,
mm-hmm.
built a bridge. No shit.
Wow.
And this course, of course, took like over the period of a month, mm-hmm. and built new fire rings. And somebody brought a mobile pressure washer with its own tank,
mm-hmm.
hoofed it over the bridge, and pressure washed all the concrete and do a lot of that. Like,
who do you propose this final big project to, and who approves it?
You propose it to the council.
You propose it
to your scoutmaster and assistant scoutmaster,
and he kicks it up,
and they'll kick it up, and then you have to go and give a presentation and like all paperwork and all that, and some people do slideshows to the council, the local area council, and then they'll say yay or nay, and they'll, you know, and then once it's completed, bring it back to us, and you have to go through a review process to make sure that you did what you did, and then you get your Eagle Scout. Like, it's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
And
we get your Eagle Scout. I assume that's some kind of a big ceremony of some kind.
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been to and been a part of many. Probably twelve.
Once you have
15.
Your Eagle Scout, is that it? I mean, is there some other thing in addition to that, or is that it?
Absolutely it.
Got
like
it.
The next thing above that would be Congressional Medal of Honor.
That's like the I was gonna say after that, and then it's the double quarter pounder with cheese.
It is a double quarter pounder. It's a Royale with cheese. Actually, now here's the other thing though. Your Eagle can be taken away.
Ooh,
yeah. Most felonies. Things like that, yeah.
Jeez, that's pretty harsh.
And then you go
if you're an Eagle Scout and you get a felony, that's pretty bad,
uh-huh.
it seems.
Yeah.
You've gone through all of this, and you've gone through all this brainwashing, which I'm not calling, it's not, I'm not serious, but you know what I mean? This effort and you're
all that effort and time and
stuff. It's
expense.
Years to get this, and fuck, I'm going to go get a felony.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of cornball shit, but not even a lot. There's a little bit of cornball shit with it. There's a lot
of much.
It's really not that much. And some of it was just kind of eye roll. It's like, come on, this is dumb. We should know this. But then you realize it's in the Scout handbook. I don't have my Boy Scout handbook, which is just your basic, like, how to tie a kerchief, how to do this, how mm-hmm. you wear your uniform, da da da. Mm-hmm. I lost that 25 years ago. I have no idea where it's at.
Sure.
But my Boy Scout field book.
You have that.
I have that, and it has like probably 8 or 10 pages of notes in the back. It's got little drawings that I try to do of like birds and leaves and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And the field book is like advanced shit. It's like
I know I've seen those before. I had friends that were in Boy Scouts. I didn't join for whatever reason.
The field book is the green one. The green one with and it's been the edition I have is like, I don't know, like the 15th edition from like the early 90s.
I remember peeking through and seeing these kind of cool looking sketches of stuff of knots and things.
Knots and like, I mean, like what happens if you have
trying to identify certain plants and things?
Oh yeah, edible plant, like edible wild plants, poisonous mm-hmm. plants, venomous plants, which is incredible if you think about that. Just all that shit, all compiled into like 400 pages, and it's fairly portable. And I still take it with me when I go camping.
It's kind of a book that everybody should have anyway. Forget that it's Boy Scout. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a piece of information you should have on the shelf.
Yes. That's why mine's on my bookshelf.
Yeah.
And will remain so. And I've had it since like 1993, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And I also have a Boy Scout issue knife with the Boy Scout like crest on it. That my grandfather gave me, and it's from 1955,
mm-hmm.
and that was the year that my grandfather and like two
that was the year
other
that Back to the Future went back to.
That is true.
1955.
My dad's the oldest of three boys. He was born in 1954, and a year later is when one of my grandfather's friends that he worked with had a son who's a few years older and realized, you know, we have no Cub Scout troops and no Boy Scout troops. And my grandfather always wanted to be in Boy Scouts, but there was no time when your father is a fall down drunk and would leave for weeks at a time. And you're the oldest boy and you have to fend for yourself on the farm. And my grandfather was like, let's start a troop. Went to the Methodist church, got a little bit of money from the council, started Troop 82.
Nice.
So the troop that my dad was in, my stepdad was in, that a bunch of my friends' dads were in, and I was in, and a bunch of my friends, was started by my grandfather and two other men.
So it's probably as the need of the region, too. Like, if there's something that's already there, they're not going to get, hey, there's already the troop here.
There wasn't a single troop there.
There was nothing
in that town.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there was one. I don't know that one ever existed. I don't know that they had one for, say, 30 years or whatever, 40 years, and then it just went by the wayside. I could see that happening.
That kind of shit happens probably all the time.
A lot of troops went on pause or were eliminated altogether when your older scouts that are about to approach Eagle, or like guys in like their maybe early to mid 20s up to age 35, all went off to World War II.
Okay.
So then they didn't have older boys. You had the younger boys that were just like, oh, fuck. And then you had nobody to lead them because they were all.
What's the age limit to be an Eagle Scout? The upper
18.
18, okay.
Yeah, you have to get it by. I think you have. I used to know that rule because it's like 6 months after your 18th birthday or something like that to achieve it, or maybe it's your 19th birthday.
Okay,
something like that. There's a lot of quirks and ins and outs of it, man. And I'm like, some of it's starting to flood back, and I'm like really thinking about it. But the majority of the best memories of my like later childhood and teen years all were around Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts.
And Cub was just earlier, is pre-13 or whatever, 14 or whatever.
Yeah, the way it works is you have, at age, I think it's age six, five or six, one of the, I'm going to say six, you can get into Tiger Cubs, and then you have Wolf Cubs, you know, and you just kind of slowly level up. Then you have, this is where the corny shit happens, where if they rebranded and they talked to me, I would change the name of this, because it's just hard to deal with for like 2 years. Is after Boy Scouts or after Cub Scouts and kind of before Boy Scouts, you're kind of still part of the Cub Scouts, but you're transitioning, just like puberty.
Okay.
Think about the early puberty years.
About
11,
the same time.
11, 12.
Okay.
You go into Weeblos.
Oh, I remember the Weeblos.
It's Weeblos. It's We'll Be Loyal Scouts. W-E.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Again, a friend of mine did all this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you...
It's like a stupid name, though.
It is a stupid name. It was great in the beginning when they just kind of portmanteaued shit together, but I get it. But it needs to be modernized because it just sounds like we blow. And I didn't do any of that, as we've talked about. Nobody tried to blow me, and I never blowed any. I never blowed nobody, no Boy Scouts. anyway, yeah, I suffered zero sexual abuse in the Boy Scouts. And I never heard of any.
How often... If you were to decent...
0 times, Paul.
Any hand jobs? No.
No. Okay. No. No. No.
Any elbow wiener?
No. No. I didn't. No armpit fucking. No Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez. If you live in a reasonable size city or town, whatever you want to call it, how often normally are the meetings?
Monday night. Every Monday night.
Every Monday night.
Yep.
Got it. Wow, that's a lot of meetings.
Usually every Monday night. Yeah.
Okay.
That shows another initiative. These are all stepping stones.
So if you're
to
out
that.
Of town or you some traveling with your family and then you do
miss this, meetings, it happens.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
But it does go against that record that goes along with you in your troop.
Okay.
And is lodged with the council and now electronically with the main administration.
Right.
So like, and it could, they could, the council could, if they wanted to, with attendance issues or something like that, say, look, you've only attended 50% of the meetings.
You've done well, but you've only
done 50%.
Up.
That's a failing grade.
Yeah.
By any grading scale. So you have to commit over the next 6 months to bring that percentage up to say 90%.
Okay.
Unless you can prove a hardship. And I knew boys that went in front of that council and said, My mom has two jobs. Do you have a dad at home? No. Does anybody else help you out? No. My mom has two jobs, and I can only go to every other Monday meeting because my mom has a part-time job at night, and I have to watch my brothers or sisters
something,
or whatever.
Yeah.
Extenuating circumstances. They're not. It's not the U.S. military. They're not fucking assholes and hard asses about it. Mm-hmm. This isn't a life and death situation. They'll take, you know, a case by case basis, but the attendance is a big thing. Okay. And also, if you don't show up to enough meetings, you're not going to be on the same page, and you're not going to be allowed to go on the next backpacking trip.
And he's
because you don't know anything about backpacking.
You don't know enough. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't learn to keep your pack under a third of your weight. You know?
These meetings are probably a lot of churches, I would imagine. Because
yeah.
That's what their church.
I would say for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually in some basement somewhere.
Well, I've learned a lot about the
you
Boy
have learned,
Scouts and the Cub Scouts and the
yeah,
Weeblos.
When you go from Weeblos to Boy Scouts, you have what's called a crossing over ceremony.
Okay.
And you have the Arrow of Light, which is a badge that stays on your shirt, on your uniform.
And all the way.
Yeah.
It's there.
It's there. It's permanently. And it's the first badge patch that goes on. It's not the first patch, but it's the first patch you earn that goes on your uniform.
Okay.
You have a council patch. You have your troop number patch. You have your American flag, mm-hmm. and all that. And but then, like, the regalia, like, I could fucking explain all that shit. Like, I won't. But there's other thing, too. And, in fact, I was just speaking to another member of the order on Saturday. It was one of the guys in attendance at the wedding, and he always remembers that because I'm like the only person that he's still friends with from high school that was in Boy Scouts that knows what he did. He's an Eagle and all that, and Order of the Arrow is like a fraternal organization within the Boy Scouts, and you have to be chosen. It's called a tapping out ceremony. It usually only happens once a year, and sometimes people don't get chosen. It's for exemplary Scouts that are like shown initiative, jump in and help when needed without being asked, and like all these different criteria. And it's
kind of rare.
Like in the case of the guy that I was just telling you about, I don't want to say his name just in case he doesn't want people to tell about it, because OA, Order of the Arrow, the OA is, like I said, it's kind of secretive. You're not supposed to talk about it.
Okay.
He and I, other
it's
members,
like Fight Club.
There's a special handshake.
Like
it
Fight
is
Club.
Like Fight Club. There's a special handshake. You have to fight somebody. You have to take your shirt off. No. There's. I didn't have to take my.
Now
see,
we're getting
now
to.
Now
it.
We're getting into. It. I didn't. It was other Boy Scouts that molested me. No. There's. I can tell you that you there is a vow of silence you take for a certain amount of time. Once you get your tapping out ceremony and then you get chosen to go to OA, you're exempt from all other activities, and nobody, they're like, where the hell did that guy go? Like, oh, I think he got tapped for OA. And like, oh yeah, he got tapped out during the flag raising ceremony, you know, at the quadrangle that morning.
Like, oh,
tap out. And then, yeah. And so you go and you do things and you go through this whole, There's a lot of Native American stuff in there, and there's a lot of this and that and the other. But it's funny because I've known guys that are OA that also went on to be Masons, and they're like, it's very, very similar to Masonic mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's a vow of silence you have to take, and then there's service that you have to perform, and like hard labor kind of stuff for a multitude of days, and then okay. after that, like, you have a swearing in, and you're sworn to uphold these certain beliefs and these certain core tenets, and it's within the Boy Scouts organization, but it's like even more so.
Okay.
Which is why, like, I don't have a huge regret that I didn't retain my Eagle, because I am member of the OA. And okay. I think that I'm good
That's
enough
good.
With that. And anybody who's listening knows, and they're shaking their head, they're like, yeah, they're nodding along like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. That tracks. Because it's true.
I'm going to sum it up by saying it sounds like you guys are a bunch of brown shirts.
Definitely a bunch of brown shirts.
I'm just kidding.
I learned how to high step, man. So oh, my God. You're fucking terrible.
Just a half a notch away from the Hitler Youth.
Jesus.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm
wow.
kidding.
We carry knives, brown shirts, short shorts,
kind of. Yeah, look kind of.
Oh,
look at
the fucking worst,
dude. Let's get a old picture of a old Boy Scout in a Hitler Youth uniform, and
the neckerchief is like the only difference. Yeah,
I'm kidding.
It's terrible.
I think it's a great organization.
It really is. And also, by the way, the Boy Scout uniform predates the brown shirts.
Just okay. going to throw that yeah, out there. They right. copied us.
They copied, yeah.
Yeah.
They might have.
Yeah.
Might have said, let's not bet. Let's start little, there, and we'll just go from there.
Well, that was 30 solid minutes on the Boy Scouts.
On the Boy Scouts, which that's a new topic for the last 6 years.
Yeah, no shit, huh?
Yeah, hard to believe. All right, is that all we got?
Yeah, I think that's all I've got, man. I'm Boy Scouted out.
All right, well, have fun this weekend.
All right, thanks, folks.
I'll talk to you later. Thank you.